Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Big, big game this weekend in Athens, and we're so happy and proud to be able to talk to this dude, man. He's a friend of the show. He is a stud.
A three-time All-American. Girl.
That, too. His name is David Pollock, and Pollock, man, always appreciate you giving us a few minutes to talk some dogs. And Mike and I were saying, I think you were the first guy, man, a few weeks back saying, hey, look, I'm concerned about this pass rush as we get ready for Alabama. Tell us what you're seeing, what you think, what's going on, and why they're not generating any pressure, and can that change on Saturday?
Yeah, I think you see, you know, in the Tennessee game, you saw, you know, they brought three, they brought four, didn't really get home, they bring six. Here's another problem, didn't really get home, you know, like, So how do you find ways to pressure the passer? And a lot of times when they brought more, you know, it led to the big touchdown plays down the field because, you know, if you have to bring more, it means you have to play man coverage, right? So I think that, you know, I think Georgia's defense will get better. I think it will improve. I think they'll find their guys and who they are that can rush the passer, who they are that can cover. I think it's good sometimes, too, to have a little bit of a bad game where coaches can hold that over you and make you focus more and use more detail. But, yeah, I think the pass rush is a legitimate concern. Who can win the one-on-one battle? Can Christian Miller win them inside? Who can win them outside? Like, a lot of new faces on this Georgia defense. I think I'm still trying to figure out who's the best pass rusher. Who's the guy that can get to the QB, affect him, and make life really hard on him? Last year, we knew it was Jalen Walker. You know, you knew Mykel Williams could do that. This year, like, we're still finding out, I think, who that guy is.
Right. I mean, statistically, it's Chris Cole, but you're right. And, Dave, on the flip side, Alabama has got the same amount of sacks as Georgia, just four. So they're not bringing the heat either.
No, they haven't been great. Now, they've had a lot of pressures. I mean, they had issues. I think their second game, they had 14 pressures and zero sacks, which is really hard to do. But they're more of a they're more of a zone coverage team. They're not super aggressive. Like, that's just kind of who they are now as a squad and what their defense is, you know, post Nick Saban. But no, they've got some guys too that, you know, Big Tim in the middle's been out. And he's going to be back this week for the game. And he's one of the bigger forces. Overton has to continue to play better. But, like, I think both these teams, they're very mirror images of each other. And I say that, and I know that sounds kind of weird, but, like, they both haven't gotten a lot of sacks. They both haven't ran the football well or protected their quarterback great. So, like, I think there's, you know, this isn't the Alabama-Georgia game where we saw them, you know, many a times, Nick and Kirby, when they were in their prime, and you're talking about dudes all over the field that are kicking the crap out of everybody. I think both these teams still feeling who they are. And Ty Simpson now, he had 20 incompletions against FSU. Homeboy had five the last 2 weeks. Like, he's starting to figure it out. Gunnar Stockton figured it out in Knoxville. So, like, I think the offenses both have a chance to, because of the lack of pass rush, have a chance to become explosive on who can protect their quarterback in passing situations.
David Pollock, our guest here on Dukes and Bell, guys, talking dogs and getting ready for the game on Saturday night in Athens. Speaking of Knoxville, what surprised you the most, Dave, in that comeback win in the way that they did? Was it the resiliency? Was it Gunnar Stockton? I mean, what surprised you the most, Georgia win?
I mean, y'all knew they were going to go score 40 and give up 40, right? Like, y'all knew that was going to happen. Like, I think, like, I assumed Kirby's defense would be, you know, the story that they would keep him in the game, and that would be, you know, that would be the key to victory. But, you know, sometimes you got to be able to win in a multitude of ways, and Gunnar Stockton was a surprise to me. Like, you know, throwing on time. He was getting beat to crap. The kid doesn't care. He doesn't flinch. I think the running game, what sticks out to me is they've got a bunch of backs, you know, maybe not one that's elite of elite, like he's one of the better backs in the country, but I think they got three or four that you feel really good that they're going to run their tail off and get more yards than they're blocked. So that's a great thing. Like, the playmakers out wide are really, really good. So I learned that if Georgia's defense struggles, Gunner and company can carry them. And it's got to be a certain way, though, guys. Like, it can't be – like, Gunner – put it like this. In his era at Georgia, he has had one quarterback that has rushed for 10 yards – or excuse me, he has one quarterback that has rushed the ball 10 times or more. It's Gunner Stockton. And he's done it three times already. Like, so it just shows you it's a part of the game plan. Like, they're going to spread you out. They're going to run QB run. He's not some freak elite athlete, but he's going to run it strong. He's going to run it tough. And I think, you know, Gunner Stockton's passing ability that he showed you in Knoxville in the clutch in a big moment, that's got to give you a lot of hope to say, like, this passing game can continue to grow and get better.
David Pollack, guys, three-time All-American with us here on the WaitFor.com hotline. Dudes and Bell, live from the Loyal Tavern here in Roswell. Dave, I'm not expecting Mike Bobo to reinvent the wheel. And by the way, Dave, Carl, all those years I used to complain about Bobo,
yes.
Pollack got an earful. I had nothing to complain about Bobo up in Knoxville. Would he take anything from Gus Malzahn's game plan? Because Castellanos and some of that read option had Alabama going sideways.
Yeah, I would love to say yes, but you ain't got that freak. I mean, Tommy, like, you can play touch football in an elevator with Tommy and lose. Like, that dude is just, you know, free rushers coming off the edge. They couldn't even put a hand on him. So, you know, different type of, like, you're going to see the zone read. Now, here's what I'm seeing from Georgia. Georgia's offense looks to me like it's got a little bit of elements of Todd Monken at Baltimore and the way he uses Lamar Jackson. I'd be willing to bet that Bobo's talked to Todd Monken a little bit. And how have you used Lamar's feet? How do you design that? Because they don't want to live in it in the NFL either. Like, you want a minor in it. You don't want a major
right.
in it. And so I think, you know, finding a way to continue to use that. Listen, anybody who gripes about Bobo after the Tennessee game, you're an idiot. You're a moron. You're dumb. Like, now here's the only criticism I'll take. If you want to ask me about the red zone play calling, wasn't the greatest. Like, we're not going to line up and pound people. Now, there was also some QB run that I liked, but you know, there was also the two-point conversion that was dialed up that was absolutely gorgeous, knowing how Tennessee is going to banjo that and switch off, and then but Branch getting inside with that detail and then getting out to get the two-point conversion. But, I mean, listen, Bobo gets a lot of heat. If you give him heat for that last game, I got nothing for you. You're gonna be pissing and moaning the rest of the year because dude just went into somebody else's stadium and dropped 40+.
Agreed. It's David Pollack, guys. Pollack, the dude I'm worried about because he gave us reason to worry last year, and then he's coming off of a 5-reception, 165-yard game with 2 touchdowns, is Ryan Williams. Now, he may not be, and Kirby said this week, you know, the Jermaine Bernard kid is pretty impressive. But Ryan Williams is so explosive, and he killed you last time you saw him. What are you trying to do to limit his touches or at least, you know, limit his explosive plays?
Yeah, Jeremy Bernard is more of the guy that's a really elite, like, running back type guy. Like, I can throw it short. He's going to break a tackle. Ryan Williams is the throw it deep guy. Let him catch the football. He's going to make somebody look silly. So it's really nice to have both, you know, like Bernard has a little bit of Bell a couple years ago when he was thicker and playing running back and just catching things and breaking tackles, like Deebo Samuel type element to his game. The answer is Ty Simpson is still a young quarterback. Ty Simpson doesn't see the whole field yet. Now, I'm not insulting Ty Simpson, but he's going to get to the point where he'll be able to go through progressions better. But you just got to continue to change the picture. You know, pre-snap versus post-snap, like make him hold on to the ball a little bit, but his feet will get a little bit happy. But if he knows where to go with the ball and you don't make the picture cloudy, you're in for a long night, like a long night. And here's the great thing. You're at home. It's a night game. Plenty of time to get, you know, plenty of liquid courage in you, get loud. Like as a pass rusher, it's so beautiful when you know the snap count. And I say that, you'll know the snap count. because the crowd's so loud, the guard's going to look into the center, tap him on the butt, and he's going to lift his head and snap it in 1-1000, 2-1000. Like, that's the way it works. And so that's a big-time advantage, you know, them not being able to communicate as well. But Alabama's run game hasn't been Alabama's run game. I'm interested to see, too, just, you know, if they're going to be aggressive, try to throw the football the majority of the time, you know, how is Georgia going to respond and get pressure on the quarterback?
Hey, Dave, because I know you how much you love gambling, if the weather is a factor, do you feel this is a high-scoring game? Or if the rain comes in effect, or do you think, because if the defenses can't do the job, it seems like a lot of points.
Yeah, I think, you know, DeBoer, it's interesting. He's 2-4 on the road. When they've scored over 35 points, they're 8-0. I think this is a first one to 30 type game. So I think it's more high scoring. Now,
okay,
like Georgia has a chance with the way they're running the football, with the guys that can run the football. Maybe they can possess it a little bit more, and maybe they can shorten the game some. But, no, I think it's high scoring. And remember, when it rains, it's always advantage offense because you know where you're going. The defense doesn't. So, like, as long as it's not monsooning. And that's what happened to Alabama, like, you know, week one against Florida State. They thought Florida State was going to suck. They didn't have no clue that Tommy and Gus were going to come in and run roughshod and make big plays. They get down, and then it starts monsooning, and you got to throw it every play. So, right, like, I'm interested to see, man. Georgia's got the pressure of the Bama thing because Kirby's got 19 losses, and six of them are to Alabama. Six. I'm not good at math, but that's a lot. That's like 30-something percent, right? Like, that's a lot of losses to one team. Well, Alabama's already lost their mulligan. They've already got beat down. Like, they've been told how bad they were, and, you know, so many people, you know, putting dirt on the grave and showing clips of, like, how they're just ball knowers and they just know everything. Look at this effort. This would never happen. Like, you can pick out any clip on any defense to show some loafing. Like, that happens. That's not a news flash. So both sides, like, Georgia has the Alabama thing. Alabama has the we've already lost and can't really afford to lose much more. And, you know, you haven't seen them coming to Athens very often. And that's a big deal. There's a reason Georgia's got a 33-game winning streak at home.
Pollock, who are you buying in the top 10? Because I don't think there is a dominant team this year. Like, even with Ohio State being ranked one, they go out. You know, I think they're playing Washington this week. Washington is underrated to me. But who are you buying? Are you buying LSU or Penn State? Are you buying what you're seeing with the U, who's 4-0? Do you believe any of this?
Yeah. Give me Miami, bro. I mean, I love what I'm seeing from them. You talk about turning on tape and going, yes, please. Like, offensive line and defensive line for Miami. Like, they want to rip your face off, and I am here for it. Like, I love the physicality. I love people that don't like people. Like, I love them. I want them on my football team. And their offensive and defensive lines are two of the best in the country. Carson Beck being protected, having time, you know, that he's able to flourish and thrive, especially with a young receiver like Tony, who's a freshman baller out wide. Like, I love what I'm seeing from Miami. They've done it against really good competition. They've been consistent. They have a bye week. Then they got Florida State next week, and that's going to tell us a lot about the rest of the season. But, I mean, I am very bullish on Miami and what I've seen so far.
And speaking of the ACC, Dave, by the way, when you were a three-star recruit, did O'Leary at Tech want you to play, like, fullback or something? What do you think of Georgia Tech with Brent Key? And I think they kind of check a lot of boxes right now.
They do. And so O'Leary recruited me as an H-back to Georgia Tech. When I was calling games with ESPN years ago, like, O'Leary, I was in his office. He was at Central Florida, and he's like, "Yeah, Pollock, you should have come to. You should have came to Tech. You'd have been an H-back. You'd still be playing the NFL." And I'm like, "Coach, it kind of worked out okay. Like, it worked out, you know, pretty good." But no, O'Leary did recruit me. But Tech, and here's the thing about Tech, man. Like, they're tough. They're physical. You love the way they play. Extremely well coached. Them in an underdog role, you don't want none of that smoke. Like, Brent Key is 7-1 against, you know, ACC teams as an underdog. Like, that's incredible. Now they got to play as a favorite. They got to keep Haynes King upright. But if you look at that schedule, like, there's no way they have more than one loss going into the Georgia game.
Right.
They're going to win a lot of football games. And so if you're a Tech fan, man, you should be jacked up because you got a coach that's implemented toughness, that talks tough, that walks tough. That I just love the way he carries himself. And you got an OC that's one of the best in the business. How good does the defense hold up? How much do the injuries affect me? Can Haynes King not try to run through everybody? Like, he's my favorite player probably in all of college football. Exactly. Like, I love the dude. He's my spirit animal. Like, if I'm playing quarterback, I would be him. But, like, stop, like, lowering my throwing shoulder and trying to run through defensive linemen. Right. Like, it's just – it's part of his DNA. But, like, I think, you know, the way they're orchestrating their offense and the way he runs that thing and controls – like, they ran a two-minute drill against Clemson to go take the lead, right? They hit that 55-yard field goal. You don't see very many two-minute drills in all of college football. They didn't throw the ball.
It's true.
They didn't.
It's true, right?
They ran a two-minute drill, and Haynes King runs the ball like 80% of the time. Like, that's just – they know how – Buster Faulkner is so elite at how to take advantage of you and make you, like, look over here, and they slap you with that other hand. Like, it's like rush hour. Which one of y'all kicked?
Hey, David. David Pollock's with us, guys. Three-time All-American at Georgia. Before we cut you loose, every time – so much. How's your lovely wife Lindsay doing? Because I know she was dealing with some surgery. You put some stuff on social media. A lot of folks asking us how she's holding up and what's going on.
My baby doll is an absolute stud. I knew that when I married her, and Mike, you knew that when you met her, you know, 20 years ago. But like, she's, you know, she's had a couple of surgeries. We're fighting brain cancer, but like, you know, my kids have always looked at me like a superhero, and because I played football and stuff, and now like, they see their mom's scar from ear to ear, and not one complaint, not one tear, not one bit of anger. Like, she's really chosen faith over fear, and it has not changed her at all. And if anything, it's made her, you know, more drive more into her faith and more into loving people and being there for other folks and stuff. So she's doing great. We have a couple surgeries in, and she's back to doing most of the stuff, you know, that she could do. It was really scary for me, Mike, because, Mike, you know the background. Like, Lindsay does everything. Like, everything. I don't know where money is. I don't know where anything is. She looked at me a week and a half, 2 weeks after surgery, and she goes, hey, I'm going to need you to make the decision. And I was like, excuse me? And she was like, I don't have the capacity to make decisions. Like, you're going to need to do this. I was like, we've never done this. I was like, so are you going to get mad at me? Because I don't know how to make decisions. And so, like, you know, it's kind of been like, you know, she's had to, like, back off and not be able to do as much. And now she's back to, like, she told me the other day, she's like, I feel like I'm juggling, like, five balls right now with all the stuff she's got going on, because she's basically the team mom at our high school. And she was like, and I kind of like it because it feels like I can handle things again. So she's doing really, really good, and she's definitely fighting like a ball.
Awesome. Pollock, you know we love you. You know you are in our prayers. You know how we feel about you.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You and your family, and that's awesome, man. It's a blessing. Thank you so much, brother, for joining us today, and go Dogs, man. We're looking forward to tomorrow or Saturday.
Dang right. Go Dogs. See you guys. Appreciate you.
Thanks, David.
That's David Pollock. Great stuff, Mike. And it's great to hear that she's doing
well. Yeah, man, that's tough for anybody. You know, Matthew Stafford and his wife went through it, and Lindsay and Dave are going through it as we speak.
All right, man. Coming up, we're live at Loyal Tavern. Look who just walked in, man. Tinker.
Hey, man. Tinker makes a rare Roswellian appearance.
He is.
Right?
He made it out here. Canton Street is where we're at. Loyal Tavern, guys. Come on out. Fourth and one's coming up. We got an NFL game tonight. But the news today is their quarterback seems like he's feeling better, which could change things Sunday.
Uh-oh.
We'll tell you about it next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.